Hello, friends, and I'm going to keep moving forward here as soon as I get all my ducks in a row. We're going to, Sorry for the slight delay here. All right. Now we're going to begin with program number 64 in the externalization of the hierarchy. And I just want to read a little segue section here. You will note also how fully occupied the hierarchy is with work preparatory to emergence, and with those plans and activities which will lead to renewed interior activity, based not on lack of previous unity and integrity, but on the absorption of new energies made available via Shambhala. Made available via Shambhala of these extraplanetary forces to which I have earlier referred. And, you know, even the avatar of synthesis, the spirit of peace, are deemed extraplanetary. This task of reorganization prior to moving outward will be completed by May 1946, so we're dealing with approximately 74 years ago. Then the task of the new alignment with humanity will be started, and the great work undertaken, see if I can get this properly, which will proceed for several hundred years. So an alignment with hierarchy, a closer relationship with hierarchy, will be operative for several hundred years. What is that? 300, 400, taking us maybe into the year, maybe somewhere around 2350, 2450. The word several, of course, is vague. All right. Now we are ready to move on. And we've been talking about the connection of hierarchy and Shambhala. And now we're going to speak of humanity and how humanity is involved in these adjustments impelled by new alignments. Okay. Just trying to get a little light on the subject here. So this next section is called In Relation to Humanity, and the previous section was about Shambhala and hierarchy particularly, and the great period of activity in which hierarchy has been engaged. And he says here, I shall not deal with the work to be done in centuries to come in and through humanity, which is the goal of all these adjustments, you know, recalibrations, different approaches, different levels of responsibility for different groups. Hierarchy is undergoing a most influential period of readjustment, and it will affect humanity greatly because of the impact of the weight of the Shambhala influence. And we still have to decide whether the Shambhala impacts, which lay in the future when this was written, were somewhat mediated by hierarchy or were of the direct kind. Certainly the one in 2000 was deemed as possibly less destructive than Shambhala impacts in the past. And the number two is clearly visible in that date. Okay, interesting too, you know, when you look at 1975, it sums 1 and 9 is 10, 75 is 12. So 7 and 12, 10 and 12, we have 22, and the number 4 stands out numerologically. And the possibility of, well, war or peace, of harmonizing and unifying or promoting friction. Right now we are in a very frictional period. Anyway, he says, I shall not deal here with the work to be done in centuries to come in and through humanity, which is the goal of all these adjustments. You know, the Christ has said that the new age will be raised up by human hands and human feet. And that's one of the famous paintings by Rorik. It's Christ in the desert. At least as far as your present interest is concerned. So we have to think of the immediate centuries ahead and what humanity can really do under Saturn at the influx of energy, which will lead us into the Aquarian age. It could be a very difficult period, but one filled with opportunity, as Saturn is certainly in esoteric astrology, considered to be the god of opportunity. I shall touch only upon the activities of the hierarchy as it establishes on a more powerful basis, a more direct contact with mankind. And that is certainly in process at this very moment and is undergoing a crescendo, an intensification as we head towards the year 2025. Very shortly to be achieved within 5 years. Since 1925, the hierarchy has directed its thoughts to men. This was the time when there was a considerable movement of the ashrams into the triad, especially the cosmic etheric aspect of the triad, especially the Buddhic plane, and a shift in the Maha Chohan and the preparation for the forming of the new group of world servers. So since 1925, the hierarchy has directed its thoughts to men, but it has not vitalized, as it will eventually do, the religious movements or churches in all lands, or the educational work in all countries, or any of the activities which are concerned with aiding humanity through welfare movements. All right, now those are rather Ray 2 activities. And since 1925, we've had the second part of the Great War from 1914 to 1945. The Nazis were gaining in power in 1925, and Hitler was planning his revenge against what he considered to be a betrayal of Germany in the First World War. And fascism was coming in strongly into Italy. So a lot of the First Ray onslaught, in a way started by Bismarck, or at least he was the outer representative, was emerging. So since 1925, the hierarchy has directed its thoughts to men, yes. But it has not vitalized, as it will eventually do, the religious movements or churches in all lands, or the educational work in all countries, or any of the activities which are concerned with the aiding of humanity through the welfare movements. You know, the 1825 Shambhala impact and the coinciding of 250 years in the 500-year Ray II cycle brought forth many of the tendencies towards welfare and the obstacles to human progress were realized, though not much could be done until the clearing of the of those obstacles during the war, the big war. Okay, it was felt necessary that it was necessary for mankind to show the hierarchy, as well as themselves, the nature of the impulses towards love and selflessness, which may have been already established, and to do this free of hierarchical prompting and influence, and in this way demonstrating that they possessed that which might be depended upon as innate and as present in a living creative manner. So basically, this was a period relatively free of hierarchical prompting. Now, you notice that in Master DK's work in the mid-30s, there was plenty of hierarchical prompting, a movement towards the expression of goodwill, which was global, as kind of a last opportunity to forestall what hierarchy saw as an inevitable descent of the Great War onto the physical plane once again. All of this, of course, being a continuation of that Atlantean War some 4 million years earlier, in which, amazingly, the same principal characters were fighting with each other and leading the opposing forces. One type of force serving the lords of the dark face, and the other type of force, the positive force, serving the lords of the shining countenance. So humanity for some years then was left to its own devices. And of course there was a rise of the contradictory force, the appropriation of the Shambhala energy without love, and the rise of Nazism, fascism, and Japanese militarism. But says the Tibetan about this, writing in 1946 after the war, the demonstration has been good. Humanity has shown creative love, of which goodwill and humanitarian efforts are the lowest aspects. And that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Creative love. It's kind of a blend of the second and third ray on a quite high turn of the spiral. So during the 30s and the 20s, I suppose, the late 20s, filled also with financial difficulty and depression, humanity has shown creative love, of which goodwill and humanitarian efforts are the lowest aspects. So we have here the work of the men and women of goodwill, the humanitarians, and we have the work, the initial work of the new group of world servers. The showing has been better than was anticipated. You see that hierarchy is always observing humanity's response to see what humanity can do for itself, rather than have its hand held every step of the way. The showing has been better than was anticipated, and this new and vital realignment between the hierarchy and humanity becomes now beautifully possible and can be carried forward without danger. Okay, so now we're looking at the period following the Great War and all the promise that it held. We're sort of at the end of that period now, almost 75 years having passed. The hierarchy is now the custodian of far greater power than heretofore, on account of its adjustment to Shambhala. So hierarchy itself is always improving, and there's nothing final about its spiritual state. It is advancing, and with it, humanity is also advancing. Such a lot of import attached to this word adjustment, readjustment, internal adjustments, inter-center adjustments. There's been a shift in the pattern of distributed energies between the three great centers. And we live in times of intensification of those relationships, in which humanity is receiving much from hierarchy and attempting to become somewhat part of it, and also receiving much from Shambhala, which is harder to, I suppose, detect. But still, humanity is energized with possibilities. The hierarchical readjustment to humanity is being carried out at this time in the ashrams by setting up of the magnetic centers, which through their directed activity will influence humanity in the coming large scaled process of reorientation. Obviously, without the internal readjustments within hierarchy, humanity could not be the recipient and beneficiary of these enlivening energies every one of the subsidiary ashrams that manages to come into a state of organization is a magnetic center sharing that which is of real value in terms of light, love, and power with humanity. In studying this, you must remember, says the Tibetan, that these are not centers or concentrations of forces, but groups of disciples whose quality is oriented towards mankind and whose potency of thought will act magnetically upon aspirants and humanitarians and through them, and their goodwill activities will reach and impress men everywhere. So we have human beings approaching at least in general, a peripheral relationship with hierarchy, with certain ashrams, and the quality they gain and express is oriented towards the upliftment of humanity. And this has been going on for some time. I think if we were to look at the consciousness movement of the mid 20th century, we would see that great changes in positivity and in the understanding of consciousness have occurred. So the important thing is that human beings are being impressed with a better way of perceiving and a better way of behaving. This is utterly necessary because the old ways will not work. Just as D.K. said of the First World War, progress would have been impossible if conditions as they existed before that war, all those, you know, aristocracies and so forth, which put down the masses, if those kinds of conditions were allowed to perpetuate. And I suppose he might have said something similar with regard to the great sweeping, the great housekeeping or house cleaning that occurred as a result of the Second World War. So we are certainly clearer as a race. Do we share more? I think so, but not enough. And have we achieved peace? Well, a Third World War has not broken out, though there have been many wars. And we have to keep any such possibility of a Third World War on the psychological level. Okay, the adjustment being at this time undertaken, therefore, is between hierarchical groups and groups of men and women upon the earth. It is intended, as you have been told, that humanity itself will be the world savior, you know, especially of itself to a degree and of the lower kingdoms, working with the aid of the hierarchy, as yet invisibly behind the scenes. And when this interim work of salvage is accomplished, you know, the so-called rebuilding of the shrine of man's living, then the hierarchy will externalize itself. So exact dates are probably not so much the order of the day as certain energy patterns achieved, which indicate that a sufficient amount of redemption has occurred, so that hierarchy can take the risk of externalizing. the timing is in their hands, and especially in the hands of the Christ. And we know that this externalization will not take place if there is considerable danger of an abortive effort which is rejected by humanity. So we still have a lot of work to do. We have about a century ahead until there is a change of an age, and we reach the alignment of the vernal equinox with the 30th degree of Aquarius. It does move in retrogression. Then will come 29, 28, and so forth, changing every 72 years, according to measures which are still not completely clear. It's certainly not the size of a constellation which determines the movement and the alignment of the vernal equinox with a particular constellational energy. Otherwise, the age of Scorpio would be very, very short, and the age of Virgo very, very long, and we thus far have been taught nothing about deviancy or deviation in the duration of these ages. Okay. So, you know, quite simply, adjustments are underway. And they are vital adjustments, and they will allow for an interflow of energy between the three planetary centers, which thus far has been only a dream. We have many difficult obstacles to confront, but there's a certain inevitability in their presentation to our living process. And we'll have to deal with them or go down to defeat and enter an Aquarian age of the spread of evil, of disease, epidemics, standardization, you know, all of those ugly things, totalitarianism, you know. The energies are neutral, and everything about whether they can be successfully applied depends on the condition of the form to which they are applied. And so this gives all of us encouragement to better our sensitivity, our spirituality, our service orientation, to improve these things. Hierarchy expects that our motives will be correct, even if we fail many times over in the attempt to execute those motives. So he goes on, page 540. You can imagine the adjustments, therefore, going on in all the ashrams in preparation for all this. And though I touch not upon it, you can imagine the general effect of these inter-hierarchical adjustments and alignments upon disciples and aspirants upon the earth, i.e. those who are in some way greater or lesser affiliated with an ashram. Inside the blue circle, as it were, are disciples, aspirants, and initiates of the first four degrees. And then, of course, the hierarchy itself. So indeed, we should apply ourselves to an imagining of what these adjustments can be. Just because they're occurring behind the scenes does not mean they are not extremely potent. And we should do everything we can to participate in these adjustments as much as may lie within us according to our scope of possibility. And the ashrams will appear externalized at different times, always with the secondary ashram first. And we see a lot of activity of the first ray ashram, which may be later in the day, but we see that activity in the fifth ray ashram at this time. Since it is going to be a seventh ray age, obviously the externalization of the seventh ray ashram, especially working through initiates of the first degree who are on the seventh ray, will be very important in the necessary sharing and financial readjustments which must enter the human way of living if we're going to be at all successful in reducing the very evident antagonisms and frictions. A measure of sharing becomes indispensable. And since the seventh ray is the ray of circulation, an important ray of circulation, then the sharing of money and the things by which human beings live is indispensable for a fairer distribution. Now, think of the air signs that are coming in with Aquarius, and one of them is Libra. Libra is about fairness and justice. It rules, in a way, the last 720 years of the age of Aquarius. Distribution is related to Aquarius, and that represents not only the entire age, but the subsidiary energy of the first 120 years. And then comes the amazing, you know, intelligence and reconciling of the pairs of opposites under Gemini, which rules the central decanate. And no doubt we will all of us be involved in these different approaches to ensuring that universality, a greater measure of it at least, does eventuate from the work of the age of Aquarius. Right now, we're pretty much under Saturn, and we have to face the karma which we have generated. So disciples and aspirants on Earth are being much affected by these inter-hierarchical and I might even say intra-hierarchical adjustments. And, you know, we live in a time when much progress is possible and much alignment with the whole group idea is possible. So these are, in a way, difficult but very privileged times. Anyway, they are the first, needless to say, who will respond to this activity. Not the rank and file of non-aspiring human beings know, but those who have some measure of developing spirituality, the aspirants and disciples and the initiates of the world. Just as the higher initiates, initiates of the thresholds, will be responding to the higher initiates who are responding to the weight of the Shambhala impress. As all this is taking place in the present difficult period of world rehabilitation, the immensity of the problem involved and the quality of the tension are abnormal. Now, we try to avoid tenseness. We try to live at a point of tension, but when DK uses a word like tension, he may suggest that there are some negative effects to a certain kind of tension, a certain kind of uptightness, a certain kind of brittleness, watchfulness, a kind of state in which the freer flow of energy does not occur. So let us at least discriminate between a point of tension and tension as it is usually used or understood, and tenseness, which debilitates whatever vehicle it concerns. So a difficult time, and he promises us that the first decanate of Aquarius will not be easy. I think big issues about sharing would emerge. And as I may have said before, the sharing of water may be one tangible manifestation of this inner necessity to share the waters of life. It is not easy for disciples today. Of this, the hierarchy is well aware. This fact also involves for them still another aspect of hierarchical adjustment. So let's just pinpoint here the fact that hierarchy knows how difficult it is for all of us, and probably here in the West we are privileged in many ways to be able to work on these problems without issues of subsistence and squalor and rampant crime. You know, we have been liberated through our Western development to be able to concentrate upon the improvement which is expected of men and women of goodwill and of world servers. So it's not easy. Hierarchy knows this, and there's some very eloquent paragraphs where DK identifies with us and tells us of the exquisite agony that he and other masters experience when observing humanity to see whether it will make progressive choices or whether it will bind itself into further servitude to elemental life. So this fact that it's not easy also involves for them, hierarchy, still another aspect of hierarchical adjustment. They have, for the sake of the work to be done, to establish a closer alignment between the inner ashrams and the outer groups, between themselves and their senior disciples, carrying the burden of the outer service. A clearer alignment is the point, and they have all of these adjustments to make so that they can be closer to those who try to follow their instructions. Many things prevent the will of the hierarchy from reaching us, and DK said, well, you'll have to have a lot of patience when you're on the other side, because it's so very difficult to get through into the human brain, and one can become discouraged. This alignment has also to be extended between senior disciples and initiates and the workers on earth. So what do we have, really? What is being said here? The great necessity of stronger and more sensitive alignment. Inner and outer have to come together. And it's all a graded influence. A senior disciple can receive more than a junior disciple. And normal disciples and even aspirants can receive more than the normal men and women of goodwill, and certainly more than the average non-aspiring person. So it's a descending ladder of influence, and we have to be content with the quality and grade of energy that can reach us and which we can absorb. There are certain things that are so high in their energy content that we cannot understand them or absorb them, and maybe we have to recognize them when we encounter them. DK is often pointing out, I can't really speak to you about this, you would not understand, and then he oftentimes says, it's not permitted for me to speak of these things to you, and so forth. The pureness of the motives animating the hierarchy will constantly emerge with greater clarity in your minds as you attempt to understand, even in a small measure, their problems. You know, we're all rather self-centered, and DK tells us how rarely we look at the magnitude of humanity's problem from the point of view of the Christ as much as we can. We fail to realize that when he observes the condition of humanity, it does, in the words of the Tibetan, fill him with horror. It seems a huge task. Well, we tend to think about ourselves. And we do not identify with the problems that our superiors are faced with, even though we cannot understand them in full measure. But let us say hierarchy is always looking for motive. Accomplishment may lack or be delayed. But if the motive is correct, they continue to encourage the work, because someday success will be possible. There are other problems of which you can know nothing. Well, there he goes, you see. We just know, even if we think we know, the ABCs of occultism and the ABCs of the issues involved. So sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day we too will be in that position, and we will deal with those problems which we recognize, and others who are up and coming will be working on lesser things, but necessary things, necessary for their own development, even as we today work on necessary but lesser things when compared to the problems of hierarchy. There are other problems of which you can know nothing, problems related to the new energies pouring into the planet impersonally and dynamically. Well, many of these are Aquarian energies or intensifications of the rays and the planets associated with Aquarius. And then there are ray cycles that are independent of the astrologically related rays. So new energies, it's a problem. How to deal with them. Just the way training for discipleship has changed dramatically because of the new type of disciple and because of the new possibilities which exist when new energies arrive. Problems of fresh tensions, can people handle that without debilitation? Incident to stronger and new alignments. You know, we can burn ourselves and reduce the form in its capacity to respond and then have to rebuild it all over again. It's sometimes the problem with prematurely released kundalini and the burning of etheric webs, which are protective and have to be rebuilt. Problems concerned with human enlightenments, plural, because there are various grades of enlightenment, you know, just there are, as there are various grades and types of samadhi, it's not just one unitary thing. Problems concerned with human enlightenments. To what degree are we enlightened? And with every stage of enlightenment, new necessities and problems arise. So concerned with human enlightenments and reactions in the face of darkness, which evil initiated. How do we respond to some of the horrific things with which we are presented by these lords of wickedness and hate, cruelty and lust? Do we panic? Can we ward it off? Can we insulate ourselves? Can we offset it? The problem of evident evil and its direction towards the disciple and groups of disciples has to be dealt with. I remember that DK said he had been busy for a while, I think it was in Dyna One, with an attack against his ashram. You know, somehow handling the worst effects of that attack, and now he offset it, he warded it off, and he could resume to the place where he was before the evil intention and insinuation occurred. So we have to be alert regarding how we deal with the incoming of the evil. Problems of increased personnel having to deal with more and more people in group formation, disturbing the rhythm, but necessitated by the demand for workers. Well, whenever you introduce new personnel into a spiritual group, there's going to be an adjustment, and maybe a difficult one. And this is so regarding the ashram also. Problems connected with the growth and training of the members of the hierarchy upon the way of the higher evolution. An entirely new form of training is required for the liberated monad, liberated from the monadic vehicle and entering the sea of fire and entering the cosmic astral plane and cosmic mental plane in some cases, and even the cosmic buddhic plane, problems which we can not conceive of at this point in our development. Other problems incident to the planetary crisis, which is an initiatory crisis through which the planetary logos is passing in this fourth chain. And to problems regarding the initiation of the Lord of the World himself, who has undergone one cosmic initiation and is preparing for a second cosmic initiation, which will probably be millions of years ahead, though there are activities and states occurring now which lead in that direction and which anticipate those problems. And problems here which are incident to the amazing demonstration of the success of the evolutionary process up to the present time, even though there was a retardation of planetary progress due to the moon chain failure. But now time is being made up and speed is increasing. This success has been proven by the alignment for direct interplay of the three major planetary centers, Shambhala, Hierarchy, and Humanity. The alignment is not complete, but there certainly are strands of energy connecting each to each, and the strengthening of these bridges, their beautification, their electrification, as DK has called it, is certainly underway. So let's just say, try to understand. Let us all try to understand the problems faced by Sanakumara and the planetary logos. I don't think we can get very much into the problems of the sacred planets and of the solar logos, except in some kind of vague and abstract manner. So a new type of orientation is required of the new disciple. It's not any kind of self-centered training. It's having to do with holistic perception and the realization that many types of workers of all degrees are presently engaged in trying to bring forward a successful planetary manifestation. According to the divine plan, reflecting the divine purpose, according to the will of our planetary logos, which is simply in itself a reflection of the will of the solar logos. We're engaged in this huge system of interrelationship, and we don't understand it very well. Some of the detailed knowledge that Master DK has given us, or at which he has hinted, are helping us understand a bit more. But let us think in larger terms. Let us not be stuck with our personality problems. All of us have those issues, and we have to deal with them, yes, but they are not our main concern. We have to deal with them even as we are thinking in a more global manner. The statement has gone forth that we are supposed to think globally and act locally. Well, even today, you know, our very actions carry global implications because of the amazing, thus far, intercommunication system which the computer revolution has provided. When I think of the computer revolution, I think of the Shambhala impact of 1975. And all that followed, linking human beings together in real time across the globe. It's an entirely different type of perception of which we are now capable, and we find a kind of instantaneous transmission of information which concerns us. And because of that, the speed of humanity's progress can be greatly hastened. Well, I think we find that this book, Externalization of the Hierarchy, has so much of value in it. Many of these essays have had sections extracted and carried over into other books, so we're likely to find several iterations of the same paragraph or sentence until we drive the point home that people like ourselves are responsible for a smoother entry of humanity into the Aquarian age. We have to know Aquarian values, apply them to ourselves, work in group form with each other, applying those values, and at least exposing by our toil in Pisces the Aquarian values of which so many human beings are not yet aware. It is really a new paradigm. It is something of the utmost importance when we encounter the people hanging on to the outworn and useless and even dangerous past. We need something fresh, something new. And it is coming. usually through much suffering, of course. That's an issue. But we have to be willing to let go of the things that just don't work. So we're on page 541, at least in the main book. And we've done just a few pages. And I'm going to set us up for the next program, which is about the WASAC of 1946. Some very important announcements were made regarding that period of time, affecting, or at least informing us of perhaps changes in the Buddha's program. So this is approximately 1 hour and, you know, a couple of minutes. And we're going to begin next with program 65, and we'll start on page 541, and our work will be hierarchical preparation at the WASAC festival. And this will relate to the year 1946. So this material will go up on Makara and later up on YouTube. And we hope that you are able to work through it, to think along with me on these matters and come up with ideas that bring illumination to you. It's certainly possible. I can't possibly give everything because I just don't know enough to do it. But at least I can help you connect certain thoughts with each other, certain centers with each other, certain energies with each other, and kind of weave the whole thing together somewhat under the spell, perhaps, of pure reason, and certainly, I think, using the abstract mind. So, okay, friends, we'll move on soon. And lots of love, many blessings, and on to program 65.